Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State University Environmental Policy and Sustainability Manager, Joni Newcomer, to talk to us about 10 sustainability initiatives. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you, Emily. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. Well, what is sustainability?
Oh, you have asked a very difficult question for one person to answer, because I have found that we all have an individual definition of sustainability, and it varies for each one of us. So the word sustain is to keep going. And like you were saying earlier, it's to hold something up. So those are two beautiful definitions. And if we relate that to the planet, we are keeping the planet and maintaining it and holding it up and keeping it healthy. So that's one definition of many that I could give you.
And what are some of the myths about sustainability?
Oh, gosh. I think the main myth that I get asked, or that people actually answer, is when I say sustainability and they always answer recycling. And recycling is such a small part of sustainability. It's just a minuscule part of sustainability. So that's one of the myths, that sustainability and recycling are the same. And it's a very small part.
And how is sustainability used here at New Mexico State University?
I was hired 6 years ago and created the Office of Sustainability in the Facilities and Services Office. And what the first thing I did was create 10 sustainability initiatives. And because, like we were saying earlier, sustainability is so broad, I felt 10 was probably not even enough, but that was plenty for me. So that's how that got started, with the 10 sustainability initiatives. So the very first one I wrote was relationships, because none of this can happen without us relating to each other on every level. And that seems like an odd initiative, but to me it's the most important. We do none of this alone, and everything we do affects everything else. But then my next two are the most important things I do. They're actually in my job description, and that's energy reduction and waste reduction, because all of those things, all of the monitors, all of the computers, everything that we plug in is energy, and so every bit of that costs us money.
And how can you use that in your home?
Oh, gosh, easily. You can take all of these initiatives to your home and do all of these in your personal lives. And I think we already do them in our home. I think every single one of us turns off our lights before we go to work, right? We don't leave our air conditioning running. We don't leave the lights on in the garage. You know, we already do these things because we are paying those bills. But on campus, when I first started, someone actually asked me, when I asked them to turn their monitor and computer off, they said, "What do I care? I don't pay the bills." No, I'm serious. That was the look on my face, was, "What do you mean, what do you care? We all pay the bills. This is all university money, which is your money." That's why energy reduction is one of our biggest things that we do. Plus, it's how greenhouse gas emissions occur. Every time we turn on a light, we are emitting greenhouse gases. And I don't think people tie those two things together. Yeah, and then the second one of waste reduction, that costs us money, because everyone here that owns a house has a bill that comes from City of Las Cruces, right, to pick up our trash. Well, we have the same thing on campus. Every time you throw something away, that goes into our waste containers, which go to the landfill, and they charge us every time that we put something in the landfill.
So should that go into a recycling bin instead?
Yes, definitely. Anything that we can recycle, we need to put in the recycling bin. And that's something that Aggie Recycling, which is another office, can help you with. If you have any questions on recycling, we can help you with that through Aggie Recycling.
So let's continue with your 10 initiatives.
All right. Okay, so if we started on the rest of them, water conservation is hugely important, as we all know, in New Mexico. I mean, you cannot get anything more important than water right now. And so that is my fourth initiative. And really nothing more needs to be said about that. I think we get that we need to save water.
But there's a lot of beautiful green grass here.
Yes, yes. Oh, good. All right, that's a great question. So here's the answer to that. I work very closely with the grounds department. And everyone knows we have xeriscaping and we have turf, right? So on xeriscaping, that is a high labor-intensive thing to take care of. And the labor costs us money.
Why is it high labor if it's just growing there?
Well, it doesn't just grow there. Weeds grow there. Trash gets caught in it. I mean, think of your xeriscaping at home. We're always maintaining it. We're always picking up trash or the plastic bags off of the cactuses. Someone has to keep those beautiful. Our drip system comes loose. Somebody has to fix that. So it's very labor intensive, believe it or not, to take care of xeriscaping. Whereas with turf, and this is a tough one because lawnmowers emit greenhouse gases, a lot of them, but we have one guy that just zips around a field and he's done, and that turf is completely maintained, and now our students can sit in the grass. I see so many students having classes in the grass. And you can't have a class in xeriscape. You know, so there are pluses and minuses to everything we do on campus. So that's one of the pluses of xeriscape is water conservation. And then, of course, the turf requires sprinkling. So nothing's good 100%. Yeah, so then our next initiative is climate change resilience. We know that climate change is happening. We just know it. So we have a choice. We can become resilient and we can also adapt.
And how do you become resilient?
Okay, so becoming resilient is learning to do what we were just talking about in the other initiatives. We can turn off our monitors. We can turn off our lights. We can be better stewards of our planet. So we are becoming resilient to things that we already know are happening. Now, adaptation is, guess what? These have already started happening. Now, what do we do? You know, we already know that we're lowering our water table in our area. So now what do? We learn to adapt. So those are the differences. And I really, really try to teach people how to be better stewards of the planet.
And by teaching people, do you have classes? Do you have workshops?
I have both. I will go teach any class that any faculty asks me to teach. So that's one way to do it. I have many classes that I teach every year in engineering and in honors college and all over campus. I will teach different classes about sustainability. We have workshops. We have the Sustainability Council, which is our volunteer end of sustainability, where we learn and we have people come speak to us. And we have webinars, actually, in the Environmental Education Center, which is the room on campus where people can come and learn all about green buildings and watch webinars and watch movies and have student orgs. I mean, it's on and on. There are so many
and
things
how
do that
they,
we do.
How do they get on to the webinar?
The webinars I announce on Hotline, probably 2 days, sometimes one day before the webinar. And so we watch it in the Environmental Education Center. And the great thing about doing that is we have discussions afterward about the webinar. So we're now sharing and learning and educating each other. Because quite often we have really smart people that come to the webinar, like our climate scientist, Dave Dubois, comes. We have water people that come. And now we're all learning and educating each other. Yeah, so I encourage people to look for those webinars in the Hotline and on my website.
So then that's number 5 of your 10 sustainability initiatives.
Yep.
So now we get to food and health.
Ah, yes, food and health. People are always surprised when they see that as my initiative. But think about it. If we cannot feed ourselves, we're nothing. And so what I talk about with food and health is, A, we grow our own food here right on campus. We have a 2-acre organic certified farm that's grown by Gerald Thomas. That food actually goes into our HRTM program, and they use it in Cafe 100. Sodexo actually uses some of the food. And so we are teaching our students how to grow organic food. And then tagged on to that is afterward, we teach them how to compost food that was left over from cooking, like in the HRTM Cafe 100. So it's a very broad subject of food. And I also encourage people to go to the farmer's market and buy local food and really support our local farmers. Because think about these are our people that grow food and support us. So we want to support them back.
So then you have green buildings. What yes. are green buildings? Not just the color.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not the color. Green buildings, in 2006, Governor Richardson signed an executive order saying we would build all of our buildings in the state that were 10,000 square feet or greater to what's called LEED certification, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. So that certification is what the governor said we would do, and we have followed that ever since 2006 in any building that we build. And so LEED certification and green buildings are buildings that use less energy, they use less water, they have materials that don't off-gas into the lungs of our beautiful students and faculty.
Like lead paint.
Yes, exactly.
Or
yep.
asbestos.
Yep. Yes, and so all of our green buildings are very, very clean buildings. That's a huge part of it. They're also very water conscious with plants. And it's a huge topic on green buildings. So that's one of the things we do. And the Environmental Education Center is a green room. It's not a green building. It's a green room in Regents Row. And people can come learn about what it is like to build a green building.
So yeah. then we have transportation.
Oh, yes. It is the second biggest emitter of greenhouse gases after buildings. Buildings emit 40% of the greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. A lot of it's mechanical, and like we were saying, just by turning on a light, we're emitting greenhouse gases. Transportation is our next biggest emitter. So I personally encourage people to take public transportation, ride their bicycle, walk, for heaven's sake.
And this is what you do, right?
This is what I do. That's one thing that I can say, is that I exemplify everything I'm talking about. Yeah, so follow me around for a day. You'll see what it's like to live a green life. And it's very easy. It's very easy.
So then we have two more left of the initiatives.
All right, so materials is the next one. And I touched upon this when we talked about green buildings. Anything that we come in contact with has the great possibility of hurting us. If it's made with chemicals that hurt us, if it's off-gassing chemicals that we're breathing, there are so many important things about materials in our living environment that we cannot avoid. I mean, just the chair you're sitting in, the upholstery, if that upholstery was made in a factory that had horrible chemicals and it was off-gassing something, every time you moved in your chair, you would be putting chemicals in your body. So that's why materials are hugely important to sustainability and sustaining our lives.
Yeah. Well, you find a lot of possibly old furniture yeah. when you go to your yard sales or
yes.
different estate sales.
Yes.
How can you be careful about that?
Boy, that's a great, I've never thought of that, Emily. I have never thought of that because I don't go to garage sales, but that's really interesting. The same thing would apply. The same exact thing would apply. If you are buying a sofa, because commercial furniture is really different than residential. Commercial has to follow fire codes. They meet all of these requirements. So it's more likely in your commercial furniture that you would be getting a good material. But in residential, nobody has to follow really any rules. I mean, some they do, of course, with baby clothes and cribs and things like that. It's much better. But, you know, if you buy a 50-year-old chair, they didn't care.
So then the last one, social justice.
Oh, that's the hardest one to talk about. It's just so important to think about. And this is where students, you and I are of an age where we see things and we know things. Young children and college-age students don't think much outside of their own life. But if I remind them that the T-shirt that they bought at Walmart for $5, yay, what a great deal, it was only $5. Well, that T-shirt was probably made in a country where the people making it make $1 a day. They have no health insurance, no insurance of any kind. They live in horrible living conditions. They work in buildings that are not green buildings. And this is what we're connecting ourselves to, is companies that make garments or anything, furniture, anything, and not treating the people that work there well. So that is a huge part of social justice, because every single one of us buys something that's made out of the country, and we never think of the person that made it. And I want people to start thinking about that.
To find out more, you can log on to...
My website is sustainability.nmsu.edu. That's the best place to go.
And it's also where you can find out about the webinars. And I really appreciate you coming out to visiting us on Puentes. You're a definite bridge to the community here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And again, manager of the university's Environmental Policy and Sustainability, Joni Newcomer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.